is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will bring it to a whisper. For the next hour, sit quietly and we shall control all that you hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
And now, it's time for the radio show that covers just about every topic. Because variety is the spice of life. From the arcane and unusual to current events and practical tips. Because if it's interesting, they'll be talking about it. And now, here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Indeed we are. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Allison.
Good morning, Bill.
We are Bill and Allison, and we are sometimes wrong.
But we're always right.
We're always right. Absolutely. And we have to warn you, we are on this program, hope you don't take offense, but we are non-binary. Both of us are non-binary. We like to begin our program with a verse, and this is from the first chapter of Revelation. Jesus said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." And Thomas Adams, a Puritan writer, someone called him the Shakespeare of the Puritans, and he wrote, "Jesus Christ is the center of the whole Scripture. The sum of divinity is the Scripture. The sum of the Scripture is the Gospel. The sum of the Gospel is Jesus Christ." There you go. 8:09 Hill Country Patriot time, and we are happy you're joining us.
Remember several years ago, before we lived here, we were flying into San Antonio and renting a car. I think it was when we were looking for a place to live. Mm-hmm. And the guy at the...
We were homeless at the time.
the guy at the rental car counter, do you remember what he said about the Bible?
No. We should prepare our show. What do you think?
Well, I just thought about that. Oh, I know. I think what he said was, it tells you where you come from and where you're going.
Oh, yeah.
Was that it?
Yeah. Well, I've often said the sum, if I can remember it, the sum of the Bible, if you need to sum up the Bible in just one sentence, Jesus is coming, Jesus has come, Jesus will come again. I think the guy who said that, he used to be a Muslim, now that you mention him, but this was years ago. He used to be a Muslim, and then he moved to Texas and changed his name. His name is now Bubba Muhammad. What?
I don't think he was Muslim. Okay.
On this day in 1558, Elizabeth I, of course, Queen Elizabeth II just died, but this is 1558. Elizabeth I ascended to the throne upon the death of her half-sister, Queen Mary, also known as Bloody Mary. And she was known as Bloody Mary. Do you know why she was known as Bloody Mary? Mm-hmm. Why a cocktail was named after her?
For killing people.
For killing people, exactly. particularly Protestants.
Right.
She killed lots of Protestants.
Right.
So nobody knew much of what to expect from Elizabeth, but she shortly showed them she could walk through all manner of wolves without being bitten. In her long reign, she made England a great and mighty nation. Mm-hmm. So that's this day in 1558. She ascended to the throne. Also in 1943 on this date, two Marines from Texas earned the Medal of Honor for their heroic actions in the desperate battle for the Pacific island of Tarawa. And William James Bordelon of San Antonio landed under enemy fire that killed all but four men in his unit. He remained in action even after he was hit, provided cover fire for a group scaling a seawall. Disregarding his own injuries, he went to the aid of two wounded men in the water. He was killed while single-handedly attacking a Japanese machine gun position. And then the other one from Texas, William Dean Hawkins of El Paso, commanded a scout sniper platoon move forward under heavy enemy fire and neutralize the enemy troops assaulting the main beach positions. He repeatedly risked his life to direct and lead attacks on pillboxes and enemy installations. And seriously wounded in the chest, he refused to withdraw, continued to carry the fight to the enemy until mortally wounded by a burst of enemy shell fire. And the airstrip was named Hawkins Field in his honor in Tarawa. And another notable Texan, Corporal Chris Cole of Avery, was also in the battle. He was blinded by a Japanese grenade. He returned to Texas, became a state legislator, judge, and advocate for the blind. And in 1969, the legislature voted to name Austin's Rehabilitation Center for the Blind in his honor. So that's Chris Cole and William James Bordelon and William Dean Hawkins. Both, two of them named William, by the way, just point that out. 8:13, Hill Country Patriot time. What you got, Allison?
Well, you know, we were just talking about the Bible, and probably a lot of people have seen or at least know about the reality TV show called Sister Wives. It's been on for quite a while. I've seen a few episodes. And it's a polygamous relationship. One man has four wives, and they're all friends, and they hang out together. he's legally married to only one of them, but the others he is, and I'm using air quotes on this, spiritually married to. And they have lots of kids. I think it could be something like 18, or I could be wrong on that, but a lot of kids. How he supports them, I don't know. Anyway, one of the wives got a divorce, and apparently they're talking about this on the show itself, which I have not seen, but I've seen news coverage of it. And he admits, the husband admits, that the whole thing is falling apart. He is questioning his, again, air quotes, religion, which promotes polygamy. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah, isn't he a member of some spinoff of the Mormons?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Branch Davidian type thing? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. He's not an official Mormon, but yeah.
So it ain't working. When you do things that are against God's law, you suffer for it. And that's been true no matter what it is throughout history. Mm-hmm. It comes back to bite you. And so it doesn't surprise me. By the way, speaking of marriage and children, Allison, I don't know if you're aware of this, but studies show that if your parents did not have children, there's a high probability that you will not either.
Wow.
Gotta trust the science.
That's deep.
Trust the science. Thank you. Deep. It is deep, isn't it? Trust the science. Well, let's talk about the election a little bit. People are shocked. They don't know what happened. What happened to the red wave and all that? I'll tell you what happened. You know, when something is so obvious, if the outcome makes no sense, there's a philosophical tool to use. It's called Occam's razor. Okay, Occam was a philosopher, Greek or something. And he said, when all the possibilities have been examined, and basically I'm paraphrasing here, and they've been ruled out, but only one is left, no matter how improbable or seemingly impossible that solution is, it has to be the right one. Mm-hmm. That's Occam's razor. All right. See, majoring in philosophy did help me get a radio job. So when something is so obvious, if the outcome makes no sense, it's impossible, then it is what it is. Forget proof. You know, if you can't get the proof, you know it. You saw it. You felt it. You experienced it. It happened. It's real. The 2022 midterm election was stolen, just like 2020. Mm-hmm. So, frankly, you'd have to be delusional or very, very naive or brain dead or, you know, well, or John Fetterman or Joe Biden, or you're in on it. Those are the choices. Mm-hmm. It's time to admit we're all part of a massive experiment in fraud, theft, brainwashing, gaslighting. Now, think of all the times in the past few years we've been gaslighted. They lied to us about open borders. Oh, no, the border's secure. Mm-hmm. They lied about Hillary's 30,000 deleted emails. She was never prosecuted for having classified emails on a public open server. Yet they've appointed a special prosecutor just the other day. Merrick Garland appointed a special prosecutor to go after Trump for exactly the same thing, having classified documents in his possession.
Right.
They never went after Hillary. They lied to us about spying on Trump. They said, oh, we never spied. Of course they did. They lied about Russian collusion. Russia, Russia, Russia. They lied about a perfectly innocent Ukrainian phone call. They lied about massive Biden corruption in Ukraine and China. They lied about the Hunter Biden laptop from hell. They lied about the origins of COVID. They lied about the need for lockdowns and masks. They lied about the COVID vaccine. They lied about them being safe and effective. They lied and covered up all the deaths and injuries from the vaccine. They lied about the success of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and how successful they've been. They lied about the stolen 2020 election. So we've been the victims of nonstop gaslighting.
Well, and what about that race in Arizona?
Terry Lake and Katie Hobbs.
Yeah, that Harley was just talking about a few minutes ago.
Yeah, you got the chicken, the hen. What is it? The
wolf. Wolf.
Thank you.
Wolf in the hen house.
The wolf guarding the hen house.
Yeah.
Katie Hobbs, if people don't know, is the Secretary of State of Arizona running for governor.
And the Secretary of State is the one who certifies
the election.
The ballots.
She's in charge
the
of the elections.
Mm-hmm.
She's in charge of her own election.
Mm-hmm.
Other secretaries of state, I read, were asked about this, and they said, of course we recuse ourselves when we're on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
We don't run our own election. But she refused to recuse herself.
Yeah.
She said, I will do what the people of Arizona elected me to do. Yeah, right. Would gaslight us. So we're all part of a human psychology experiment in how far the government and media can go in propaganda and brainwashing. Now, this is the same people, I'm getting the election now, telling you Democrats, Democrats overperformed. They stopped a GOP landslide against all odds without cheating and without stealing. Every president in history facing his first midterm election loses anywhere from 20 to 30 House seats, sometimes more. Four or more Senate seats lost to his incumbent party. But this Biden, who's got dementia, can't put coherent sentences together, he defied history while facing the worst economy in modern history and the worst inflation in over 40 years, and actually more. Out of control crime, open borders, failing schools. 75% of Americans, according to polls, believe the country is going in the wrong direction. Yet Biden beat all of that. Every poll in the country showed a gigantic Republican landslide victory from a red wave to a red tsunami. Polls even showed women moved 32 points from September to October in favor of Republicans. But all of a sudden, they all moved back to Biden and Democrats. That make sense to you?
Mm-mm.
Okay, second, every poll in the country showed the top two issues by a mile were inflation and the economy. Crime was in second place along with open borders, but they all voted for Biden and Democrats. Does that make sense?
Mm-mm.
CNN had its own exit polls, showed the Republicans made massive gains among almost every voting group, men, women, white men, white women, blacks, Hispanics, young people, everyone. But the last few days, they all voted for Biden and the Democrats. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay. So, I mean, we live now where we can't afford gas or groceries. I was in the grocery store the other day, and I overheard two women talking, and one of them said, almost with tears in her eyes, I have to decide between buying food and buying my husband's medicine. You think she voted for Democrats?
Yeah.
With the economy failing, inflation raising, people scared of losing their jobs, living in cities plagued by violent crimes and mass flash shoplifting with no consequences in these cities. It's if you shoplift in San Francisco less than something like $500, you're not even arrested.
Right.
Homeless everywhere, streets lined with stuff you don't even want to talk about, needles, failing schools. But they all voted for Biden and the Democrats. Does that make a lot of sense?
No.
The real proof, I'll finish this up, the real proof the midterm was rigged and stolen is Florida. You notice where they can count the votes properly, the Republicans won in a landslide, where they take some weeks to count the votes. Oh, the Democrat won.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
DeSantis and Rubio, everybody else in the Florida Republican Party, won in a red tsunami. The same one the poll shows was happening in the entire country. Now, what's the difference? Florida has strict voter ID. Strict laws against voter fraud. Severe prison terms for anybody caught trying to commit voter fraud. Florida has no mail-in ballots sent to every voter. No ballot drop boxes, no ballot harvesting, no ballots accepted for days after Election Day. No counting for days until the desired result is achieved by the Democrats. So what a coincidence that in Florida, with all those strict rules against cheating, the Republicans won overwhelmingly. But everywhere else, where there are no strict laws against voter fraud, the Democrats won.
And I didn't realize, but some states do not have require ID to vote. I just heard that on election night. They were, and I forget which state it was, but it's one where the...
I'm surprised there's only one.
But well, course, it could be more than one, but they're referring to one in particular, and of course the Democrats won overwhelmingly.
Yeah, of course. Of course, and now they're blaming Trump for this. Oh, yeah, they're blaming Trump for the Republicans didn't win. But in Florida, DeSantis is the most Trump-like mega America first in-your-face politician in the whole country. And he had this ultra mega message, strict voting laws, voting fraud laws, the GOP swept to a landslide victory. And in most other places, they didn't. What a coincidence.
Yeah, I love that.
We've been robbed. Again, this was a repeat of 2020. They fixed, rigged, and stolen the election. First, they robbed us of the presidency. Now they've robbed us of a red Republican landslide, and they're trying to blame it on Trump. This is gaslighting, and we've got to stop it. And I'm done. I think I'm done. We're going to be back with more stuff. We've got...
We're going to tell you what's going on in the community.
Yeah, we've got... Thank
our,
you.
Our communities.
Oh, that's right. When we come back, it'll be the Bill and Allison Grapevine. What's going on that you need to be part of in Hill Country? We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, 104.3 and 102.1. And we're here every Saturday, 8 to 10 a.m.
It's 8:27 Hill Country Patriot time, and glad to have you with us. If you missed any of our past shows or you want to hear something again, you can download to your any device that you want if you go to firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. And it's got a little synopsis of each show and goes a whole bunch of shows on that. And we'd like to have you visit that that website, firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. Well, I heard it through the grapevine that something's going on. isn't that a clever little dig to Allison to get that thing going? Allison runs the board here. It's like the helm of the Starship Enterprise. It's got flashing lights and buttons and dials and two or three computer mices and three computer screens. And she just does a fantastic job. What you're listening to is, recognize that? Bet you wondered how I knew. You don't have to wonder how you know because you're listening to Bill and Allison. They're going to tell you what's going on. We are going to tell you what's going on in Hill Country. The Gillespie County Wild Game Dinner is returning for its 16th year today at the Gillespie County Fairgrounds. Advance tickets are available for $25 at Arrowhead Bank, Storer and Olfers, Lochte Feed, and Allied Ag Services. The annual Holiday Lighted Parade and Courthouse Lighting Ceremony is tonight at 6 p.m. In Kerrville. Officially welcome the holiday season with a lighted parade and the arrival of Santa Claus on a signature fire truck. Parade will commence at the corner of the G Street Bridge and Water Street. It's going to westbound on Water Street, make a right on Earl Garrett, and end up at the Kerr County Courthouse. And after the parade, enjoy a Christmas program, caroling, and the lighting of the courthouse, and a 45-foot tree ceremony. So the tree will be up.
Wow. I think the tree probably is up.
Absolutely. And I'm just looking at the board. The Hill Country Patriot will be there. Will be in the parade.
Cool.
What it says. So, didn't know about that, but that's fine to know. Let's see. There's farmers markets going on. Kind of a rainy day for farmers markets. I'm not sure what's...
Well, one of them is going to be indoors.
That's true. The one in Kerrville.
I just handed you...
It's update. Just been it, handed to me. An update has just been handed to me.
It actually was by me.
The Kerrville Farmers Market that takes place on Saturday. The one on Friday is suspended for a while, I guess. I don't know what's going on there. One down by the library.
Yeah.
But the other farmers market, which is on Saturdays, it's going to be inside the main entrance of Riverhill Mall. That'll be today, and that's from 9 to noon. The the main entrance is the one that it's in front of the fountain of the mall. And that's because it's raining.
It's cold.
Oh, we got free boxes for Thanksgiving. Art to Heart is providing fully cooked Thanksgiving boxes to Centerpoint families in need, from turkey to pie and all the trimming. So if you're in need or you know a family in need, please contact Art to Heart to register no later than this. Well, just doesn't matter. Just contact them, Art to Heart, to register. The pickup or delivery starts Wednesday at noon, okay, 23rd of November. And also Thursday, the 24th of November, the Salvation Army of Kerrville is inviting you to their annual community Thanksgiving dinner at the Kroc Center. And, of course, you know where that is, on Holdsworth Drive. It's going to be from 11 to 1. You and your family will enjoy a traditional dinner by either dine-in, takeout, or delivery. So that'll be at the Kroc Center on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, November 24th. And I believe that's all we got. If you've got an event coming up in the Hill Country, just let us know at Ranch Radio Group. We'll be happy to talk about it on the air and to help your nonprofit organization, whatever it may be, to do some good for the community. 8:32 Hill Country Patriot time. Oh, I've got so much. I don't know where to start. What have you got, Allison?
Well, I have something that probably most people don't know. What do Marlon Brando and Malcolm X have in common?
Wait a minute. They both lived about the same time. How about that?
They did. Marlon Brando was born in April of 1924, and Malcolm X was born in May of 1925.
There you go.
But it doesn't.
I guessed it.
It does not end there. No. They were both born in Omaha, Nebraska.
Malcolm X was, and Marlon Brando, born in Omaha.
Within about a year of each other.
That is weird. Well, we also like to give you tips, little practical tips that you can use. And I have one for you. You should save the business cards of people you do not like. Because if you ever hit a parked car accidentally, just write sorry on the back and leave it on the windshield.
Ooh, that's good. I like that.
Okay. We're talking about Trump earlier and how people are blaming him for the Republicans' losses, from blaming him for the stolen election. Well, on November 15th, which was just, past Tuesday, the FBI director, Christopher Wray, was in Washington, in front of Congress in Washington, and he was asked about whether the FBI had confidential informants among the supporters of President Trump on January 6th, 2020. And the man asking him was Congressman Clay Higgins, a Republican from Louisiana. And he wanted to know if there were FBI agents or FBI informants in the crowd, encouraging the crowd to violence, opening the doors to the Capitol, that kind of thing. And here is what Congressman Higgins and Christopher Wray, the FBI director, here's their exchange.
Director Wray, did the FBI have confidential human sources embedded within the January 6th protesters on January 6th of 2021?
Well, Congressman, as I'm sure you can appreciate, I have to be very careful about what I can say about when.
Even now, because that's what you told us 2 years ago.
May I finish? About when we do and do not, and where we have and have not used confidential human sources. But to the extent that there's a suggestion, for example, that the FBI's confidential human sources or FBI employees in some way instigated or orchestrated January 6th, that's categorically false.
Did you have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters inside the Capitol on January the 6th prior to the doors being open?
Again, I had to be very careful.
It should be a no. Can you not tell the American people no? We did not have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters positioned inside the Capitol.
Gentlemen's time has expired.
You should not read anything into my decision not to share information.
Director Ray, confidential human gentlemen's sources. Time has expired.
Yeah, how convenient. Gentlemen's time has expired. And nobody followed up with those questions. Not the next person, not the next Republican congressman who had the opportunity. He didn't follow up with those questions. So Christopher Wray refused to answer. Well, I'll tell you what. A refusal to answer is a yes.
Exactly.
Because if they didn't have anybody, he'd say, no, we didn't have anybody. But, well, I can't talk about, you know, how it goes. You know, yeah. Yeah.
So we know they did.
Of course they did. They orchestrated it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of evidence. I won't go into it, and I don't have it in front of me. But there's a lot of evidence. It was all orchestrated to make Trump look bad and to get rid of Trump. That's what they want to get rid of. They want to get rid of Trump. So they do everything they can to do it, and this is one of them. They orchestrated the violence there. Officials have also not answered questions about videos that show doors being opened on January 6th, enabling people to enter the Capitol. There's a video showing a Capitol Hill policeman waving the people in to the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I know from experience, Allison, you can't get into the Capitol on Inauguration Day.
Oh, we have a very good experience with that. Should I tell that story?
Yeah, you should tell that story.
Yeah, on Ronald Reagan's first inauguration, was that 80?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first one in 1980.
We went to see him being inaugurated, and we were there for the parade, and We
both were Capitol Hill staffers.
Yeah,
congressional staffers. That's why we were there.
Congressional staffers. So we had the day off. It was a day off. So we after the parade was over, we were just wandering around, didn't have anything to do. So we're walking across the street, Constitutional Avenue, and this little rabbi comes up and starts tugging at my sleeve and said, "Can you help me?"
Rabbi from New York City.
Yeah. It was an Orthodox rabbi from New York City, and he tugged.
Yeah, he had the
there's a word for it, but I don't.
Yeah, the ringlets or
curls,
and he was dressed mm-hmm. as you would expect mm-hmm. an Orthodox Jewish rabbi to be dressed.
And he said, "Can you help me?" And we said, "Sure. What the heck? We don't have anything to do." And we said, "How can we help you?" And he had this large artist portfolio that he was carrying, and he said. Every inauguration, he goes around and gets every senator and every congressman to sign this poem that he has written to the new president. And he wanted us to help him go around to the offices. So we were headed into a Senate office building, and we went to the first one, and they said, no, the senator's on the floor. And the second one, they said, the senator's on the floor, floor of the Senate, not in his office. So we were finally told, well, there are some votes coming up, so he's not going to be back in the office for a while. So the rabbi said, okay, well, let's go over to the Senate floor. And we said, no, you can't do that. And he said, sure, we can. And even though we were congressional staffers, we had congressional IDs, we were not allowed in the Capitol on Inauguration Day. But just... the rabbi insisted that we go. So we go to the Capitol building. And, of course, the policeman said, no, you can't come in. And the rabbi talked our way into the Capitol building. And we made it to, we were in the, I forget now what it's called, the anteroom, right, the area, waiting room right off the Senate floor. And it's where the senators come immediately from the floor. This is where they come and they stand around and talk to each other. And so the rabbi would go up to senators, ones he recognized, you know, well-known ones he would go up to and he would tell them, and they would sign his poem. And a couple of them, he didn't know who they were, so he would say, "Are you famous?"
Yeah, that really impressed him.
And what we learned...
Well, we pointed out the senators who they were,
right,
too, because we recognized
all of them. Right. And we observed was several of the senators were very, very nice to this little rabbi. Alan Simpson from Wyoming.
Howard Baker from Tennessee.
Howard Baker from Tennessee. They were very, very nice. Teddy Kennedy, who, even though we didn't agree with his politics, was very, very nice.
Yeah. He probably spent the most time talking to the rabbi and to us.
Yeah. And the rabbi was so excited when he saw Ted Kennedy that they dropped his entire portfolio.
Yeah. Well, if you'll remember, Allison, we were talking to Kennedy, the rabbi, you and I, and Kennedy, and the rabbi dropped his portfolio, and he apologized to Allison. He said, "I'm sorry, I can't bend down. I have a bad back."
Yeah, well, because I immediately stooped down to pick up the papers, and that's when Senator Kennedy said, "I'm sorry, I can't because I have a bad back." He was in an airplane accident years previously.
Yeah, and of course, I didn't ask him. Gee, must have been really an effort to dive down to rescue Mary Jo Kopechne that so many times. Yeah, I didn't have the. I wasn't that impolite.
Cajones.
Well, I wouldn't. No, I think that would be extremely impolite, especially if he'd been so nice to us.
It would be. It would
but,
be.
Okay, we talked about the nice senators. Mm-hmm. What about the not-so-nice senators?
Yeah, the absolute worst was Senator Bobby Byrd from West Virginia, who was a total jerk. He stuck his nose up in the air. He would not even acknowledge the rabbi.
Yeah, he kept walking as though the rabbi wasn't there, saying, you know, a foot from him, saying, "Senator Byrd." He just walked straight ahead, and one of the Capitol Hill police there said to us, "Yeah, that's the way Byrd is." Yeah. Another one was Ted Stevens of Alaska. He was almost as bad. He was a complete jerk, although he was one where the rabbi asked him, "Are you a senator?" So he probably took offense at that, you know, he took offense. 8:42 is our Hill Country Patriot time, and... what do we got, Allison?
Well, should we take a little break?
It's up to you.
We deal in illusions, man. None of it is.
You're captains of the ship. You're the captain of the ship.
Okay, so we're going to take a little break. And we'll be back shortly.
Yeah, we're going to. We're talking about Trump and the January 6th stuff. I'm going to talk a little bit, just spend a couple of minutes on the raid at Mar-a-Lago and what they found in Trump's home. And you'll be very surprised.
Okay, I look forward to that.
Withstanding every test, O empire wide and glorious, you stand supremely blessed. Texas, oh Texas, your freeborn single star.
And this is the Texas State Song.
To nations near and far, emblem of freedom, it sets our hearts aglow with thoughts of San Jacinto and glorious Alamo. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and words throughout the ages long. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and words throughout the ages long.
Texas.
8:48, Hill Country Patriot time with Bill and Allison. Thank you, Billy. Appreciate that. Billy Swan. Kinky thinks I'm Billy Swan, or Billy Swan thinks Kinky is me, or something like that. There's some weird story connected with that, which I don't even want to know about. Well, I promised you a little information about Trump and the raid, the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. By the way, you of course remember that the FBI did a midnight raid on Mar-a-Lago, Trump's home in Florida. Trump was not home at the time. And they went through everything they could find, took everything they wanted to take. They went through Melania's dressing room because she keeps the nuclear codes in her bra. And they did this, by the way. Not many people recognized this, even at the time. This was done just a few days, the same week, after Biden announced he was running again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what'd they find? What'd they find? Well, they waited till after the midterms to talk about this. 1 week after the midterms, the Washington Post, far-left newspaper now, quietly reported that those classified documents President Trump allegedly took to his home in Mar-a-Lago, the ones that prompted the FBI to raid his home, well, the Washington Post said, well, there isn't any, there's no smoke and no fire.
Nothing to see there.
Nothing to see here, folks, but in reality, no nuke selling to the Saudis. How about that? The report was this past Monday. The Washington Post said investigators, quote, believe former President Donald Trump's motive for allegedly, even the Post said allegedly, they don't use that word very often when it comes to conservatives, allegedly taking and keeping classified documents was largely his ego and a desire to hold on to the materials as trophies or mementos. Quote, as part of the investigation, federal authorities reviewed the classified documents that were recovered from Trump's Mar-a-Lago home and private club, looking to see if the types of information contained in them pointed to any kind of pattern or similarities. That review has not found any apparent business advantage to the types of classified information in Trump's possession, those people said. FBI interviews with witnesses so far do not point to any nefarious effort by Trump to leverage, sell, or use the government secrets. Still quoting from the Washington Post, instead, the former president seemed motivated by a more basic desire not to give up what he believed was his property. So.
Well, and they talked about him keeping nuclear codes.
Well, thank you.
It was just about ridiculous.
On August 11th, the same newspaper, the Washington Post, shows you how you can trust major media, reported that, quote, classified documents relating to nuclear weapons were among the items FBI agents sought in a search of former President Donald Trump's Florida residence. Now, notice the way they word that. If you listen to it casually, read it casually, oh, Trump had classified documents relating to nuclear weapons. But that's not what they, that's not how they worded it. Very cleverly, classified documents relating to nuclear weapons were among the items FBI agents sought. They could say they searched for anything. They could say they searched for Elvis in Mar-a-Lago.
And isn't the nuclear code changed like every day?
Changed every day. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's changed every single day. Yeah. So if he had the one on January 6th when he was Biden was inaugurated and he became president, it wouldn't be good on January 7th, much less August. You know, months later.
Well, you're talking about the Washington Post.
Yeah.
You know, our listening audience probably do not know that the owner of the Washington Post, Jeff Bezos, hangs out in Van Horn, Texas.
That's true. He does. Isn't that weird? Yeah. We were at the El Capitan Hotel in Van Horn.
Mm-hmm.
One
of our favorite hotels.
Oh, it's great. And fabulous hotel. It was built in 1930.
Mm-hmm.
Totally Art Deco, and it went into disrepair. It became a bank. It was vacant for years, and a hotel group bought it and spent gobs of money refurbishing it, and it back to the 1930s Art Deco look. And you walk in the lobby. They're playing the Sirius XM 1940s music, and it is just fab. It's a great restaurant. And so we're sitting in the restaurant, and we were told by the waitress that Jeff Bezos hangs out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, because just down the road, straight shot down the road, maybe, 15, 20 miles, is where his spaceships take off. His company is Blue Origin, and it's a private space company, like Elon Musk's,
like SpaceX.
Yeah. And that's their launch site. And we were there one night a couple of years ago, and we could see an older man talking to a table full of young people, all wearing Blue Origin polo shirts. And he seemed to be, we couldn't hear what he was saying, but it appeared to be a pep talk. And as this older man was leaving, he walked by and I said, excuse me, are you with Blue Origin? And he said, are you with the press? And at the time, we weren't. We did not have our radio show. But I said, I'm such a huge fan of space exploration and just wanted to talk to you. And I said, do you have a launch coming up soon? And he said, well, that's confidential. I heard from one of the employees that they told the date that it was going to take place. It was just a few days later. And we went to their website and we watched it. And it was really fascinating because I grew up in the early days of the space exploration. And the rockets that were made by the government take off and they explode. And, you know, after they're all done, they just...
They just toss them back in the ocean usually.
Yeah, but watching this Blue Origin launch, and I believe SpaceX is exactly the same way. They take off from a spot, and they go up, and they come back to the exact same spot, and just so they can reuse them. That, you know, they're this private enterprise, so they're not wasting things. But anyway, so that was
You mentioned too that man we were talking to. We learned from him. His name was Nick Patrick, and if you can look him up on Wikipedia, he is the first, I believe he's the first astronaut from the United Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
first man in space from the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look him up on Wikipedia, he's got his picture there in his spacesuit and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we met a real astronaut.
Uh-huh.
The second astronaut.
I was just going to say.
Second astronaut. We got to know Scott Carpenter reasonably well. And his a little-known factoid that he told us, his college roommate at the University of Colorado was from Kerrville.
Oh,
I'd
forgotten that. Yeah. I'd forgotten that. Yeah, we met him. We were on a cruise. It was a themed cruise, and there were several people giving talks, and Scott Carpenter was one of them, and also Tom Bopp of the Hale-Bopp Comet.
Yeah.
And... why don't you explain why it's called Hale-Bopp and not Bopp Hale?
Yeah. Well, the Hale-Bopp Comet, Tom Bopp worked at an auto parts store and in Tucson, I believe. And he's an avid amateur astronomer. And he goes out many nights, goes out in the desert with his telescope and his books showing the night sky and all that. So he's out there one time and he's looking at a section of the sky, and he sees something that he says, and he knows the sky well enough to know that that shouldn't be there. What is that? And it looked like a star that shouldn't be there. So he goes, he said, I went to the car and looked at my books, and sure enough, that didn't show up in the star charts. And he said, it can only be a comet. Well, how do you report a comet? What do you do? You go to the National, I forget the name of it now, it's something like telegraphy, something or another. Reporting service for comets. Well, he read it was telegraphy reporting service, so he sent them a telegram. Whereas...
Mr. Hale.
Yeah, Dr. Hale at University of Alabama or somewhere.
He called.
Also saw the same thing about the same time as Tom Bopp did, but he called it in. So what they did is they said, okay, we're going to call this the Hale-Bopp comet, not just the Hale comet.
Mm-hmm.
So... 8:58 is our Hill Country Patriot time. But that's a little background story on the Hale-Bopp Comet,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, something that I wouldn't know. I never knew. And Tom laughed about it. He said, I sent him a telegram. I didn't know. Oh, my. Well, we're going to be coming back with several things at the after the break, after the news, San Francisco has launched a new guaranteed income program for the transgender community. If you live in San Francisco, you can say you're transgender and get money from San Francisco taxpayers. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool?
$1,200 a month.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that, and we have I believe we'll have a special guest in the studio, but I'll keep that a secret until she arrives. And. Okay, I was giving tips out earlier, and I've got one more tip for you before we go to the break. It's a tip for a successful marriage. Allison, you'd be interested in knowing what a tip for a successful
yes,
marriage
yes,
would be.
Yes, I would.
Okay. This is for guys, though. a tip for guys. We're out at 30, right? This is a tip for guys. For a successful marriage, always remember this, guys. But you might want to write this down, actually, because this will be, and you might mention it to your wife how thoughtful you're being to do this. Never ask your wife when dinner will be ready while she's mowing the lawn.
Welcome back. As Bob said, we're Bill and Allison and Bill.
Yeah, it's the Allison show with occasional commentary by Bill. I'm allowed to, anyway.
And I control his microphone.
You do. Allison runs the board, and it's got three computer screens, two mice, dials, levers, flashing things. And when Harley first talked to me about doing the program, he said, well, come on in. I'll show you how to run the board. And the first 30 seconds, I looked at it, and I said to myself, I can't do this. This is crazy. I can't handle that. And so I went home and told Allison, I don't know how to tell Harley. I can't do this. And she said, well, let me try.
And no, I said, I'll do it.
Oh, did you? Okay. You said, I'll do it. And she spent a week at Harley's elbow learning this. Again, it looks like the helm of the Starship Enterprise. And but she's learned it. So she's in control. She's in, for, you know, in control of my microphone. Well, we have a very special guest.
In the studio.
In the studio today.
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
It's Rachel Geek. She's the bar supervisor for 5D Steakhouse, 5D Traveling Tavern, and 5D Tavern.
How are we doing?
We're doing great. Thanks for being with us. Okay, this is, people don't know, what is 5D Steakhouse? That's a new place in Kerrville, right?
It sure is.
Yeah.
Yep, that's our new location up here in Kerrville.
How long have you been open?
Our grand opening was on November 1st.
Oh, wow.
Well, we Kerrvillians, or Kerverts as some of us call ourselves, have been anxiously awaiting the opening.
Yeah. So have we.
We've been watching it, and I understand that your opening time was delayed from what you had hoped it would be.
Oh, yeah, a couple times now.
Yeah, and... Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking those poor people are not making any money, just spending money.
How about it?
You're open now, and where are you located?
We are right by, well, you tell me, because this is Kerrville. You're more familiar with it.
That's right. You live in Victoria,
but, yes,
right?
Yes, I do. I live in Victoria.
It's right next to the Shell station on Sydney Baker at I-10.
It is. Right? Yeah, right off the highway there.
Yeah, it's a good location. But it's not the only location of 5D.
Right. No, sir, it's not. No, we have seven locations.
Seven?
Seven.
Now, is this a family-run organization?
It is. It's family-owned, the whole thing, by the Dulash family.
Okay. Can you tell us a little history of that?
Yeah, so it's 5D stands for the Dulash family. It's two parents and their three children. The steakhouse started in 2015, and Brianne, one of the daughters, took them over in 2019. Had an opening in Victoria. That's when I started with the company, and we've gone on from there.
Okay. And what do you do for the company?
I am their bar supervisor and bartender. That's what I do. I make drinks and customer service and serve tables.
Allison said that it.
I just commented before we went on the air. That is the biggest bar in Kerrville.
Is it? I haven't been to all the bars in Kerrville yet. But
I know, I don't know of a bigger bar in Kerrville.
Uh-uh. No.
Yeah, it's a beautiful bar.
I was just going to say that it is beautiful. And you have a lot of tables in the bar area.
We do, yeah. Some high-top tables and family dining.
Where else are you is 5D located?
So we have Victoria, Port O'Connor, Kerrville, Yorktown, Kennedy, Carrizo Springs, and Monahan locations.
Wow, and you didn't even have to read that. It's memorized all that.
Yeah, I've said it. I get asked that all the time.
Have you been to all those locations?
I have not. I have been to four of them.
Okay. I just had a couple of questions. What do you think makes 5D Steakhouse so special?
I mean, I've been in the restaurant business for 27 years now, and I love working for family-owned businesses. You get to have a lot of personality, especially with this company. So that's probably my favorite thing about 5D Steakhouse is the personality. And they're just a really caring and compassionate family that I work for. They always support our troops. I don't know if you've ever been to our steakhouses on Friday. We always wear red because we support our troops.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So it just, I just love how small feel it has.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, speaking of things that are special, you mentioned that you wanted to mention some specials at the steakhouse.
Oh, yeah. So Monday through Friday, we have a different lunch special every day. And on Saturday, we offer brunch. And then every day of the week, we have different drink specials. You have to come in because they're definitely worth it to come in and take advantage of our drink specials every day.
Well, now that you mention that, Allison made a purchase the other day at the steakhouse. Tell them about that.
I got one of those big mugs.
Oh, that's a smart purchase right there. So you buy one of our tumblers, and exactly. The first drink's free, and then it's $6 refills for life.
Yeah.
It's really, you can't beat it. Can't beat that deal.
The server, I said, well, what do you get in the thing? And she showed me what drinks are available. And I said, and it's what, 28 ounces or 32 ounces or something like that.
It's large.
And
it's large.
And I said, you know, I don't want a 32-ounce Long Island iced tea.
Why not?
And she said a man was in the other day, drank four of them.
Man.
Whoa. Yeah. All right. What are the hours of the steakhouse?
Our restaurant hours are from 10 to 10 every day, but the bar stays open a little later. Wow. I'm sorry, every day except for Sunday. Sunday's family day.
So. Closed on Sunday.
I thought you closed, opened at 11.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I have to be there at 10. 11. You're right.
The reason I know that is because we went there last Saturday and we got there about 10:45.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. That's.
Final question: are there any employment opportunities since you're brand new restaurant at the restaurant?
Oh yeah, it's the restaurant business. Post COVID's been crazy, so everybody's always hiring. So okay. Yeah, great. Come in and fill out an application and talk to us.
I will.
I'll see you in a little bit.
Rachel Geek, the bar supervisor for 5D Steakhouse, 5D Traveling Tavern, and 5D Tavern. It was wonderful to have you here.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
And we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about San Francisco launching a new guaranteed income program for the transgender community. So we'll be putting in our application very soon. We're Bill and Allison, 9:13. Here comes your Patriot Time. We'll be back before you know it.
Make me happy all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison. Glad you could join us.
First couple of TexasRadio.com, HillCountryPatriot.com. And we cover Kerrville, Fredericksburg, Comfort, Bandera, Hunt, Ingram, Johnson City, Mountain Home, Center Point, and points in between.
Mm-hmm. HillCountryPatriot.com, 104.3 and 102.1.
I know you had the story, Allison, so did I. So do you want to go with it now?
Which one?
The gift program in San Francisco.
Well, first, before I do that, I wanted to talk about, Bill and I have been talking about this, about we know, you know, the potential for lawsuits by these kids who were transed, and they're already starting. Chloe Cole was prescribed puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and then had her breasts removed when she was 15. And she's now 18, and she's going to be suing Kaiser Permanente and the hospital.
She should sue her parents, too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And she said, the adults who were supposed to take care of and guide me as a child failed to do it, and they will take responsibility for it. And this another one, an Oregon woman who is now 32, she had a long history of mental health problems. She is now suing the doctors for greenlighting her double mastectomy gender change that was fast-tracked after brief Zoom sessions. She had two short Zoom consultations before being approved for a double mastectomy. And she's suing the doctors.
What is wrong with parents when a kid says, well, you know, I think I'm a boy, when they're, you know, 13 years old, and they start giving them drugs. They don't even know what these drugs will do long term.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that you hear all these puberty blockers are reversible. They don't know that.
Well, and also somebody pointed out, Big Pharma, I'm sure, is behind this, because once you do this trans thing, you have to stay on these drugs for your entire life.
Sure. How much money is pharma making on that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, it's very sad, and lawsuits are coming, as you pointed out. There's mm-hmm. a lot, and there's, you know, if I were an ambulance chasing attorney, you know, I'd be thinking about, okay, how am I going to advertise on TV? You see these ads now about mesothelioma and, you know, Camp Lejeune. Well, I'd be thinking about ads. Did you have to undergo surgery and hormone treatments because your parents allowed you to trans when you were a teenager?
Mm-hmm.
Well, come and talk to us about suing the hospital and mm-hmm. suing the drug companies mm-hmm. and all that. Yeah. Well, San Francisco has launched a new guaranteed income program.
Gift. That's what it's called. Guaranteed income for trans people.
What's it going to do?
If you say that you're trans, you get $1,200 a month.
That's about $14,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
If you just say you're trans?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a list here. Okay, what you get is not only the money, but you get medical and mental health care. And if you're trans, you need that, mental health care. Case management, specialty care services, and financial coaching. And some of the requirements are for this, you have to be at least 18 years old and identify as transgender, non-binary, gender non-conforming, or intersex. I don't know what some of those are, but you have to identify as one of them. Alice and I identify as non-binary. I wonder if we can get some money for that.
Well, former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she is now out of a job as
Speaker.
Speaker. She was recently seen on a street corner in Washington, D.C. We'll trade stock tips for food.
That's Babylon Bee stuff, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But she is going to be able to transcend her homelessness after she identified as transgender.
So
her hometown of San Francisco approved her for the gift program.
Well,
guaranteed income for trans people.
You know, I'm half tempted to move to San Francisco and
really
get that money. Why not? But what they're doing, on a serious note, they're actively, by giving people money to say they're transgender, they're actively promoting and encouraging people to become transgender. This is crazy, isn't it? Well, speaking of crazy,
yes,
INSA US. We're going to play an audio.
I never dreamed that I would have to face the prospect of not living in the United States of America, at least not the one I've known all my life. I've never wished to live anywhere else. This is my home, and I was privileged to be born here. But today I woke up, and as I had my morning coffee, I realized that everything is about to change. No matter how I vote, no matter what, I say something evil has invaded our nation, and our lives are never going to be the same. I've been confused by the hostility of family and friends. I look at people I've known all my life, so hate-filled that they agree with opinions they would never express as their own. I think I may have, well, entered the Twilight Zone. We become a nation that has lost its collective mind. You can't justify this insanity. If a guy pretends to be a woman, you're required to pretend with him. Somehow, it's un-American for the census to count how many Americans are in America. Russians influencing our elections are bad, but illegals voting in our elections are good. It was cool for Joe Biden to blackmail the president of Ukraine, but it's an impeachable offense if Donald Trump inquires about it. 20 is too young to drink a beer, but 18 is old enough to vote. People who have never owned slaves should pay slavery reparations to people who have never been slaves. People who have never been to college should pay the debts of college students who took out huge loans for their degrees. Immigrants with tuberculosis and polio are welcome, but you'd better be able to prove your dog is vaccinated. Irish doctors and German engineers who want to immigrate to the U.S. must go through a rigorous vetting process, but any illiterate gangbangers who jump the southern fence are welcome. $5 billion for border security is too expensive, but $1.5 trillion for free health care is not. If you cheat to get into college, you go to prison, but if you cheat to get into the country, you go to college for free. People who say there is no such thing as gender are demanding a female president. We see other countries going socialist and collapsing, but it seems like a great plan to us. Some people are held responsible for things that happened before they were born, and other people are not held responsible for what they're doing right now. Criminals are caught and released to hurt more people, but stopping them is bad because it's a violation of their rights. And pointing out all this hypocrisy somehow makes us racist. Nothing makes sense anymore. No values, no morals, and no civility. People are dying of a Chinese virus, but it's racist to refer to it as Chinese even though it began in China. We're clearly living in an upside-down world where right is wrong and wrong is right, where moral is immoral and immoral is moral, where good is evil and evil is good, where killing murderers is wrong but killing unborn babies is A-okay. Wake up, America. The great unsinkable ship, Titanic America, has hit an iceberg, is taking on water, and is sinking fast. Speak up.
Blue skies over Sedona, not a cloud in the sky.
Well, this is George Bennett
headed for the coast for a
singing
way of
his own and I just don't song, Texas
don't
on My Mind.
Why.
And we'll be right back.
Was I really leaving, or was I searching for that peace of mind? When I found I had Texas on my mind.
Welcome back.
Okay. There well, you go.
I hit a button.
Elvis has left the building.
I hit a button by mistake.
Oh, that happens. That happens. It ain't brain surgery. If you hit a button by mistake, you might have a problem, but not on the radio. 9:30, Hill Country Patriot time on a Saturday morning with Bill and Allison. And we're glad that you have chosen to take your time to listen to us. We appreciate it very much.
We certainly do.
And we appreciate it if you support our advertisers who keep the lights on here. We wouldn't be here without our advertisers.
And our microphones on.
That's true, too. And we wouldn't be here without our advertisers, and our advertisers support this station, so therefore you should support the advertisers if you like what you hear on any of our stations in the Ranch Radio Group, or all of them, hopefully. So please support our advertisers. Patronize them. Cryptocurrencies have been on the doldrums since the crypto carnage of last year. Over this past weekend, a Bahama-based crypto exchange called FTX Exchange collapsed, and it's probably not going to be the last one. I did some study over the last couple of days on frauds. There's several websites that list news stories about frauds that have taken place all year through the year. A great number of them are cryptocurrency frauds. People who have been indicted.
It'd be so easy to do.
Yeah, it's very easy to do. It's these Ponzi schemes, and a Ponzi scheme is where new investors are paid from the money of older
original investors.
Original investors, thank you. It's said that this guy who ran FTX Exchange, number one, was a huge donor to the left Democrat Party, the Greenies, and he also paid himself, took money that he shouldn't have taken out of his crypto fund, $1 billion he took from FTX, $1 billion. Now, Did you ever ask anybody who says, oh, yeah, I've invested in cryptocurrencies, you know, Bitcoin or whatever it is? What is it? Very few people understand cryptos. Ether. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And it's been explained to me and explained to me and explained to me, and I've read about it. I don't understand it. And very few people really understand it. We had a cleaning lady who saw on my wall, I was quoted in a financial newsletter about cryptocurrencies. And she read it, and then she started asking me. She said, I want to invest in cryptocurrencies. And I said to her, really? What are they? She didn't have a clue. But, you know, hey, I want to get on the bandwagon, you know, before the train leaves the station. Well, here's what I wrote for this financial newsletter. Cryptocurrencies exist on the Internet. Cryptocurrencies exist on the Internet. I'm not so naive. I think the Internet and the electric grids are immune from a cyber attack. One attack would give crypto investors a massive wake-up call. And buying and selling cryptos invites an IRS audit. The IRS is on the hunt for taxpayers who sell, receive, trade, or otherwise deal in cryptocurrency and is using pretty much everything in its arsenal to find unreported income from these transactions. They have teams of agents that work on cryptocurrency-related audits. Basically, all transactions must be reported. Cryptocurrencies are treated as property for tax purposes. Did you know that if you lose your crypto password, you lose your money? Unlike banks and stock brokerages, cryptos don't have a company that can help you recover your password. A recent New York Times article said there's about $1.4 trillion in cryptocurrency in circulation. About 20% of that, $208 billion, appears to be abandoned, presumably because the owners have lost their passwords.
Okay, well, Paul, while you're talking about that, here's a shout-out to everyone who can still remember their childhood phone number but can't remember the password they created yesterday. You are my people.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. We recently interviewed Franklin Sanders of themoneychanger.com, who's the smartest guy I know on gold and silver and crypto and things like, well, not crypto, but gold and silver. But he's studied cryptos, and I thought this would be a good time for you to hear what Franklin Sanders had to say.
We're very pleased to again welcome to our show Franklin Sanders of, and many people know him as The Money Changer. Or the most dangerous man in the Mid-South. And you'll find out if you visit his website, The Money Changer, which is T-H-E and then a dash moneychanger.com. And also volunteerpreciousmetals.com. Franklin, I don't subscribe to many newsletters, but I do subscribe to yours, and I recommend it to everybody. You have a free newsletter, which we'll talk about at the end, I think, but also a paid newsletter. But tell us about your background a little bit, and because we're going to be talking about digital currencies that may be coming to the United States.
Well, since 1980, I've been in the gold and silver business, handling physical gold and silver investments in physical gold and silver. And I've written a monthly money changer newsletter all that time. And I write about markets, gold and silver, monetary issues, inflation, fiat money, the cost of it, the price of it, and occasionally alternative medical theory, medical things. And the main, you know, what I try to do is take a different view than just the straight mainstream view. Used to, people call me a conspiracy theorist, but you know, the odd thing is nowadays they're all the conspiracy theorists. And so I think maybe I was just about 20 or 30 years ahead of my time. Mm-hmm. But I've been studying monetary issues since 1967. And you won't believe who got me interested in it. A fellow named Alan Greenspan. And he wrote in a book, he wrote an essay in a book called Capitalism, the Unknown Ideal, that I read. And he said that there was nothing in the world like a gold standard. Nothing else would work. Everything else stole from the people. And he was absolutely right. But then I guess his ambition got the best of him because he forgot about that in his later years. Mm-hmm. But you want to talk about central bank digital currencies, and most of the things I'm going to say to you, anybody can go on the Internet and find out. I've been studying them for about three and a half years. And writing about them for three or three and a half years. And I think, I'm not really sure, but I think that the central banks have been planning on these for 10 or 15 years. They certainly want it. And the main thing I'd like for your listeners to understand is this is not about currency. This is not about convenience. This is not about implementing technology. It's about control. It's all about social control. That's what it's about. And if you doubt that, you can go on the internet and you can find a picture of a big fat bank, central banker who works for the BIS now, I think. And he says the reason we don't want to get rid of cash is because we can't control where those bills go. So it's an article of social control. And they, and you know, architects of central bank digital currencies admit that they want it combined with a social credit system like they have in China already. And by that, what I mean is they track everything that you do. And if you do things they don't like, you lose social credit points. If you do things they like, you get social credit points.
And that also applies to your opinions as well. Is that not true?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes, yes. And so what that means is, let's say they want you to invest in some kind of green investment. Well, you get extra points for doing that. But if you write an article that appears on the news, on the internet, that says all green investing is hogwash because global warming is hogwash, you're going to lose social credit points. And if you lose enough social credit points, you can see that they just turn you off altogether. They just cut off your access to your wealth altogether. This is not the figment of my crazed imagination. This is the way the thing will work out, because we know this. Whenever governments have a power, they will use that power to the furthest extent. And if you doubt that, there are two warnings that have sent a chill through the world in the last 6 months. The first came from Canada, where Trudeau cut off the access to digital assets of all his opponents of his COVID policies. If you want to know what the future looks like with central bank digital currencies, you look at what Trudeau did in Canada to all those people. He cut off their access to digital assets, all their digital assets. They had no money. Then the next thing that happened was U.S. sanctions against Russia, where the U.S. in effect just voided all of $300 billion worth of Russian central bank assets. So the message that's been sent out to the world is digital assets are not safe. Dollars are not safe. If the people in power decide that you're a person they don't like, they can cut you off. And unless somebody feeds you, you're going to die. It's just that simple. This is about freedom. It's about control. Not anything else. It's about, I mean, I don't know how much your listeners know about the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset, but the whole COVID hoax was part of this same program to exert and impose control on individuals globally. And it's a, you know, I mean, I don't, the best word I can use to describe it is demonic. I mean, because it's filled with a hatred of mankind and a hatred of freedom so virulent that nobody looking at it could deny it. So central bank digital currencies, they're going to tell you it's the wave of the future. They're going to tell you we've got to have them. Roughly 60% of the central banks in the world are working on digital currencies today. The United States Federal Reserve is one of those that's working on them. But this has nothing to do with efficiency. It has nothing to do with updating the tech to some kind of new technology. It has everything to do with imposing social control and making sure that they can enforce any kind of decree they want. Now, let me just add a little something. If you go back to, 3 or 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, you'll find even, even longer than that, back to 2008, you'll find that when they began, when central banks began imposing zero interest rates, they were all chafing because there was no way they could get people to, they could force people to spend money. You know, the zero interest rate, if you think about it, is a punishment on savers because it means that you have to pay the bank for holding your money. And I remember in particular one Danish, I think it was Danish Central Bank study, where they were complaining they couldn't make people spend money. So if they had some way to force them to spend money, well, one of the things that's been suggested with central bank digital currencies is that you would put the money in the account and it might have an expiration date. They might say, if you haven't spent the money by such and such a date, it expires. So that forces people to spend it. Let me make clear too that what I have seen is all assumes that central bank digital currencies will be composed, will be created by individuals having accounts at the central bank. Now you have to understand that's a fundamental change in our system because no individuals have accounts at the central bank. It's the banker's bank. It's the bank. It's the central bank where bankers borrow money and so forth. Bankers, the commercial bankers, take deposits and they're what's called intermediaries. They take the individual's deposits and they make loans based on those deposits. So what you have to understand is if they do a central bank digital currency the way they've been talking about, if they construct it the way they've talked about, it does away with the banks. It does away with the banks. So what it would do is centralize all control over lending, that is access to capital, in the power of the central bank. Now we know already what a great job they do managing the currency, right? I mean, because your money is worth about half today what it was 4 or 5 years ago. So we know what a great job they do managing the currency, how accurate they are at predicting what's going to happen in the economy and in markets, which is not at all. So what in the world will happen if they have control over all the lending in the economy? What will happen if they have control to access? It'll be a nightmare. It'll destroy the U.S. economy.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the banks are fighting back, and the banks are saying, oh, no, we can't have this because it's literally a fight for their survival. And it's a strange thing because, as you know, the banks pretty well control the United States government. But all I can tell you is these are the things that are in the air. These are the things that are in the literature about central bank digital currencies. And, you know, I'm not making it up, but I kept reading from the very first time I read it. I thought, wait a minute, if they give individuals accounts at the central bank, what happens to the banks? And the answer is the banks go out of existence.
Well, some of them recognize that already. A number of them sent a joint letter, as you, I'm sure, know, to the House Financial Services Committee.
Right.
Because they know that they will go out of business.
Right.
Somebody once said, at no point in history have the people forcing others into compliance been the good guys.
And I haven't heard that, but that's true.
Yeah, it is. So I suggest people to Google, you mentioned this, what happened in Canada. Just Google a phrase like, Canada, Trudeau seizing his opponent's digital assets or something like that to find out what happened and how people were punished. I wish we had more time, Franklin. I do want to ask you one question. Given all this, how do we protect ourselves against central bank digital currencies?
Well, they want a cashless society. They want that control. So what you have to do is go to an analog asset. And the only financial analog assets are gold and silver. You have to have something outside of their system that they can't control. And believe me, Bill, I've seen in my business people making big decisions to do exactly that in the last year and a half. I've never seen anything like it, in fact. I've never seen anything like the commitments that people are making. And I and they call up and they say, listen, I'm afraid to leave my money in the bank. I don't know what's going to happen to the economy. I don't know what's going to happen to the dollar. I don't know about this central bank digital currency, the cash society. And so what they do is they're converting their digital assets into analog assets, which is silver and gold. And of course, there are other assets too that are outside the system, like your own personal skills or a piece of land where you can grow a garden and make a living. Okay. But this is not, they want, believe me, the establishment, the people who run this country, they want this central bank digital currency very badly. And it's globalists all over the world want it. So this is not, I'm not just playing Chicken Little here. I'm telling you, they're going to try to get it. And I think, I hope, since COVID, I think COVID drew a long line down the American, down American society, and I think about a third of the people realize now they can't trust their government, and they certainly can't trust them to tell the truth about what they're doing. So I'm hoping there'll be widespread rejection of central bank digital currencies.
Well, I know we've kept you longer than we promised, but I do have a quick question, because I'm sure a lot of people are listening to you and you're saying, okay, the only alternative to the slavery of digital currencies, central bank digital currencies, would be gold and silver, as you call it, the analog currencies. But a lot of people say, well, the government outlawed gold at one time. So how do we know if I have a bunch of gold and silver, the government's going to just outlaw possession of it, and I won't be able to spend it or cash it in?
Well, they're going to outlaw guns, too. You're going to go turn your guns in?
Okay.
I mean, let's face it. Government does not have the power or the authority. I mean, they may have the power, but they do not have the authority or the right to tell people they have to starve to death. They can't force people to do that, and people are not going to obey. They will just make their own decision and say, you know, I'm not going to obey that law because that means my family's going to starve to death.
Okay.
And they just won't obey it. And I applaud them, you know, because you don't have to, you know, a law against the law can't be made.
Well, Franklin Sanders knows what he speaks. Go to his website, themoneychanger.com, which is the and then dash moneychanger.com, and you can learn about his background and what he had to go through by doing exactly what he said, refusing to obey an unjust law. Also, go to volunteerpreciousmetals.com. That's where I buy gold and silver, and I think they're the best in the business, and that's his family business as well, volunteerpreciousmetals.com.
Franklin, one other thing, Bill.
Yes, sir, I'm going to give you the last word.
I publish a daily commentary on the gold and silver markets. It's free. Your listeners can sign up at the-moneychanger.com. There's a box there on the right that says subscribe, and I encourage them to do that.
I do too. Franklin Sanders, thank you so very much. It's always a mind-blowing experience to talk to you, and I certainly learn a lot, and I'm sure our audience does as well.
Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Well, you know what that means. We're going to be bringing you events happening around our communities.
Hearing it through the Bill and Allison grapevine. I wondered how you knew. You heard it here first. Well, maybe not first, but you heard it here. The Gillespie County Wild Game Dinner is going to return for its 16th year today at the Gillespie County Fairgrounds. Make sure you go to that. That's tonight, Saturday, November 16, Gillespie County Wild Game Dinner. The annual Holiday Lighted Parade and Kerr County Courthouse Lighting Ceremony will be tonight, starting at 6 o'clock. There'll be a lighted parade, the arrival of Santa Claus on his signature fire truck. Hill Country Patriot will be there. Ranch Radio Group will be there. And it's going to start at the corner of G Street Bridge and Water Street. Travel westbound on Water Street, make a right on Earl Garrett, and at the Kerr County Courthouse. And after the parade, enjoy a Christmas program, caroling, and the lighting of the courthouse, and a 45-foot tree ceremony. Cool. Farmers Market in Kerrville. today until 1 o'clock. They have changed their hours. They're now until 1 o'clock. Today, because of the rain, it'll be inside the main entrance of the mall, of River Hills Mall. That's the one that's in front of the fountain. So make sure you go to that and support our local farmers and arts and crafts people and merchants. Art to Heart is providing fully cooked Thanksgiving boxes to Centerport families in need, from turkey to pie and all the trimmings. You can pick up or delivery starts Wednesday, this Wednesday, the 23rd of November. For more information, go to art2, with the, that's the numeral 2, art2heart.org. And the Salvation Army of Kerrville is cordially inviting you to the annual Community Thanksgiving Dinner at the Croc Center in Kerrville on Holdsworth Drive, of course, on Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 24th, from 11 to 1. And you can either dine in, take out, or have delivery. So that'll be at the Croc Center on Thanksgiving Day. And that's your Grapevine. Bill and Allison heard it through the grapevine on the Bill and Allison Show. Oh, it is 9:53, Hill Country Patriot time. And what you got, Allison? You were got something over there.
Well, actually...
You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. Your next stop...
Well, you know what that means.
The Twilight Zone.
News of the Weird. I'm not sure if this is weird or just racist. Actually...
Well, being racist is weird. How about that?
Well, that's true. That's true. I'll see... Harley used to have a everything's racist.
Everything's racist, but that's on a different screen. On Harley's screen.
And I can't see it.
I can go everything's racist.
That's right.
I'll let you. You want me to do that, or are you gonna find the audio?
I can't find it.
His audio.
I can't find it. All right. Maybe he took it out.
I don't know, but I can do it.
Okay. Anyway, my news is weird. A sign language interpreter for Disney's The Lion King on Broadway says he was recently fired for being white. He's saying he and another white interpreter were told to leave so they could be replaced with black signers.
Wow.
He has filed a discrimination lawsuit against the Theater Fund. It's the nonprofit organization that supplies sign language interpreters to Broadway shows. But apparently the director of American Sign Language, ASL, for The Lion King called for the for them to get rid of all non-black interpreters.
That's totally racist.
Yeah, he said...
Couldn't be more racist.
Yeah, he said that the interpreter is not a black person and therefore should not be representing Lion King.
Wow.
And this signer said that he is interpreted for a diverse group of characters, including those played by black actors throughout his decades-long career.
Wow. Oh, man. You wonder, how can you be so racist? I mean, just how can you be so obviously racist? I don't understand. Washington Seattle Academy High School girls cross-country team has qualified for the state championship. The state of Washington in Seattle Academy High School Girls Cross Country Team. They qualified for the state championship thanks to a trans student, Aspen Hoffman. Last year, he was a mediocre cross country runner on Seattle Academy's boys team. When he competed as a boy, he finished 72nd in the league finals. Now, as he competes as a girl, he's broken school records in the girls 500 meter category, ranks first in the league. His time in the 500 meter, if he were competed as a boy, would rank him 48th. But doing as a girl, he's number one. One of the coaches said allowing him to compete against biological girls, not a coach on the same school, but another school, to compete against biological girls deprives other girls' teams of the chance to compete at state, which is a big deal.
I went to the bank today, and... they didn't respect my new identity. You know, I'm a white man. I identify as a white man. You know, when I woke up this morning, I decided to change my identity. And everybody else get to, you know, it worked for everybody else. And so I changed my identity this morning to a white man, 40-year-old white man, okay, with good credit, with a credit score of 800, and a partner at a law firm. I never really went to law school, but I identify as a lawyer. I was trying to get a loan from the bank for $1 million. I told them, you know, my net worth was, I identify as a wealthy white man. And the bank told me that I falsified my documents. How can you say I falsified my documents when that's what I identify as a white man? I decided I've been white all my life. I'm really not that black. If you look at me, you like, I'm not that black, right? You know, I'm all like, and then they said my credit score was 599. No, it's not. My credit score is 800, okay? Because that's part of my identity. Good credit is part of my identity. And I just don't think it's fair that everybody else get to change their identity. And then I can't even get away with it. The bank won't give me a loan. I identify as a lawyer. I went to the law firm, you know, and they told me to get out. Like, I identify as a partner of this law firm. You are not going to tell me to leave. And I was escorted out. And I'm going to just go back to being black.
Poor guy. Poor guy. You can certainly identify with him, can you not? Poor guy. 9:59 Hill Country Patriot time.
Yeah, like he said, everybody else can do it.
Yeah, exactly. You can move to San Francisco and say I'm transgender and get $14,000 a year plus mm-hmm. health care, and most importantly, get mental health counseling, which is what you really need. All right. We're Bill and Allison. We're glad you're with us.
I'm Allison.
HillCountryPatriot.com and FirstCoupleOfTexasRadio.com.
And join us next week.
Next week, 8 o'clock, Saturday morning. Lord willing, we will be back with you then. And remember to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths.